We had a little mix-up on the turning the sermon title in. When I turned it in to Greg, I thought I told him seven blunders of the world, but if you look on your bulletin this morning, it'll say seven wonders of the world. And that's sort of the case in some ways, that it is, I guess you could say that's a blunder within itself. But nevertheless, Ryan has put the right word on the screen for us this morning, even though that your bulletin may be have the wrong word on it. I want to start this morning by, first of all, I want to congratulate the kids, because it is important what they're doing, and I want to congratulate Ryan for all the hard work that he's done, and he has really worked with these kids in doing that. And of course, Brittany has helped him an awful lot. Brittany's got some experience in this as well. So it makes a big difference when you've got people that are experienced in doing this. So we want to thank our kids for the good job that they did. And hopefully when they do go to Louisville, that they're going to have plenty of practice and that they'll do well there as well. For the next few minutes this morning, we'll be studying about the blunders of the world. Most of you have been exposed, no doubt, to the seven wonders of the world. Sometimes the list will be the seven wonders of the ancient world. Sometimes it'll be the seven wonders. I saw a list not long ago said seven wonders of the world, but it wasn't the world. It was like what we had done here. They put the wrong word in it, and it was the seven wonders of the United States. It wasn't the world at all. And if you just take it in the United States, I noticed that they had one of them was Grand Canyon, another was Niagara Falls, and even our own Mammoth Cave turned out to be one of them. So Mammoth Cave is not really one of the wonders of the world. It may be the United States, but not the world. The world, we're talking about, these are man-made things. And of course, the first one that came to my mind was the pyramids, and that's what I asked him to put up, and he did. They are so tremendous that it seems hard that we can even imagine that they are things that are that way, that are made by man. Most of history tells us that these pyramids were made probably when the Jews were in bondage, in Egyptian bondage, before Moses went down and let them out of bondage. Nevertheless, whoever built them, it certainly is a feat. And that sort of leads us this morning to these seven blunders of the world. It's not wonders, but blunders of the world. And most of these are in the so-called religious world today, blunders that people make. And so I've listed some of them where you can see them up on the screen this morning. And if you take the atheist point of view, the first one that would certainly come to mind is that life now is all there is. Somebody had said in times past that we're not any better than a dog. A dog doesn't have any soul, and man doesn't have any soul. And that led to the old saying is that when you're dead, you're like all over, you're dead all over. And I suppose that there is a way of looking in that, but that's not what the Bible teaches us. It teaches us that life here on earth is nothing but a little vapor that just appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. And so for those that think that life here on earth is all there is, it's not anything compared to what eternity is. I believe that it's the biggest mistake that people can make in the world. And that mistake is caused by ignorance of God's word. God tells us over and over that life here on this earth is not all there is, but it's a preparation for that life that is to come a little bit later on. Hebrews chapter 4, excuse me, chapter 11. Y'all going to have to excuse my cold. I'm not near over this yet. And I believe it's the worst cold anybody ever had. It just will not quit. But anyway, we're getting a little bit better. Another thing that I noticed in my seven blunders of the world is that a lot of times people, they differ from Adam on this in that Abraham looked for a life past this life. Now, if we agree to God's premise that in these blunders that we make, that life is all there is now, then this second one won't work for us, because Abraham looked for life on past this life. Being mortal will save you. That's what a lot of people think that it is, just morality. If you're a moral person, you're a good person, I suppose if you don't beat your wife and you pay your taxes on time, that puts you in that category. And there are so many people in the world today that believe that you're going to be saved if you're just a decent person, if you're really a moral person. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so our own morality, our personal morality, no matter how good we may think we are, no matter how good others may say or think that we are, no matter what our reputation or our character is here on this earth, just being simply being a moral a person will not save you. If that were true, then I can't imagine why that Cornelius, that Roman centurion, couldn't have been saved in the state that he was in. The Bible says that he was a devout man. He was more than just moral. He was devout. And the scripture lists there in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts many other good qualities that he had. And so he was certainly a moral man. But if that was the case, then there would have been no reason for God to have sent Peter down to tell him what he needed to do in order to be saved. So moral people are not saved just simply because they're good people. And there's a lot of people that we know that are good moral people. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us that we have to acknowledge God. And many people do not do that, even though they're seen as moral people. Point number three that I put here is, and this one is just seems to be worldwide, not just nationwide, but worldwide, and that is that all churches are alike. Don't make any difference which church that you go to, which church that you're a member of, God doesn't really care. As long as it's called church or it's got a name over the door, why, that's as good as anything else. Some time ago, I was watching a movie, Steel Magnolias. You might remember that Dolly Parton was one of the leading characters in it. And one of Dolly's friends, Dolly had invited her to go to church with her. And this friend said, "No, I can't go with you. I've got to go to my own church." And when the thing that really caught my eye was, or my ear, I should say, was, as Dolly told her, said, God don't care where you go to church as long as you go. Well, now, if that church is based on the Word of God, then that's a true statement. And if they are obeying the principles and the doctrines as taught in the New Testament, then that statement is true. But there are many churches that they may think that they're doing this, and many say that they are, but many do not. So all churches are not alike. We had a preacher here a few years ago that held a gospel meeting for us. And talking to him, he said he had held a meeting out in Los Angeles, California. And right down the street from the hotel that he was staying, where he was staying, that there was a church there that had the devil's church right over the door. And devil worshipers went to that church. So certainly we can't say that all churches are alike, because they didn't even recognize that God was or that Jesus was his son. So all churches are not alike. This is one of the biggest blunders that people make. All churches are not alike. And then point number four is that people say that it doesn't make any difference what you believe, as long as you practice it with all your heart. Doctrine's not really important. It doesn't really mean. You can believe in baptism or you can not believe in baptism. God don't care one way or the other. You can believe that attending the services of the church or the way that you give or the method that you use in giving, doesn't make any difference. God doesn't really care. Kind of like the point about all churches are alike. Doctrine, we know that different churches have different doctrine, but some will say doctrine is not really important. Doesn't really make any difference what you believe or what you practice, as long as you do it in the right spirit. So this is one of the blunders of the world today. And here's one, and of course this one right here, this is one of the pet peeves of mine, and you might think that I'd camp on it a little better harder than I would others, and it's because there are so many people today, they make the blunder of saying that baptism is not essential to salvation. In preparing this lesson, I went back just to see how many places in the New Testament that we are told that baptism is essential to salvation. I found 58. 58 verses that tell us that we cannot be saved, that we cannot be saved without baptism for the remission of sins. Now, a lot of people say, well, it's okay to be baptized. Baptism is optional. You can be baptism if you want to, be baptized if you want to. But on the other hand, it's not really essential to salvation. You can be baptized. You can be saved in other ways. Some believe that you're saved through prayer. Some believe that you're saved through repentance. Some say that it's God's grace that saves us. And all of these things are true to the degree. We spoke of hope a little while ago. In Romans chapter 8, we find there that we are saved by hope. So all these things are true, but that does not mean that baptism is not essential to salvation. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 in the Great Commission, the Bible says that baptism is essential to salvation. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 says that it is essential to baptism. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, the Bible tells us that baptism is essential to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 says that it is. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says that it is. Acts 8:30 says that it is. And of course, we can just go on and on and on with the list. Not a single one of those verses tells us that baptism is not essential to salvation. And then the next point is point number 6. If there are so many people that say that there is no hell, this is one of the 7 blunders of the world today. When it comes to religion, there is no hell. There are some religions today that believe that there is a heaven, but there is no hell. And they teach that there's no such thing as hell. But by the same thing, I went back and counted 58 places on baptism. I found 43 places in the Bible that says that there is a hell, and many of them are in the same verse. And it always mystifies me as to how somebody can read the Bible and they can read a sentence that says that there is a heaven and there is a hell and believe in the heaven and not believe in the hell. How can a person do this? But in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, we find that there is a hell. Mark chapter 9 and verse 43 through 45 says there is a hell. Matthew chapter 5, Luke chapter 16, 2 Peter chapter 2, Revelation chapter 1. And again, the list goes on and on. And I won't browbeat you to saying how many more that says that there is a hell. But yet there are many churches that make the blunder. There are many people that make the blunder to say that there is no hell. The Bible very clearly and very strongly says that it is. And then point number 7, I believe that one of the biggest blunders that people make today in religion is they say, well, I believe all those things that you've talked about. I don't believe that life now is all there is. I believe in an afterlife. I believe that you've got to be more than just moral. I accept all those things. I know that all churches are not alike, that the church of the New Testament is what God wants us to do and to obey. I believe that doctrine is important. I believe that we should do things according to the Bible. I believe that baptism is essential to salvation. I believe that there is a heaven and a hell. But one of these days, when I have time, I'm going to be obedient to all those things that we've discussed. But I've got plenty of time now. You know, these first 6 don't really amount to very much if we don't accept them and we don't obey them. The mistake that many people make, the blunder that many people make, is that I believe in all these things, but I've got plenty of time to be obedient to them. We say that a lot of times with younger people more than perhaps older people. But I've seen people that were older, some even perhaps in their 70s, that still believed that they had plenty of time. And sometimes death overtook them, and they did not live long enough to put these things into practice, long enough to be obedient. No hurry to do anything because I've got plenty of time. We find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. But we're told that we are to do it now. Today is the day of salvation. We have time right now, but if we put it off, we may not have the time that we need to have. So we need to, first of all, we need to get ready, and then we need to stay ready after we get ready. Now, these blunders that we've talked about this morning are certainly blunders, they're certainly errors, but they're also sin. We don't think of them as sin too many times, but this is what we've been taught, this is what we've been told by other people. And certainly it does not hold water with the Word of God. I want to close with this little illustration that I thought of. How you can think something all your life, believe something all your life, and then maybe after your own up years you found out that it wasn't really so. Now, I remember when I was going to school at Richardsville, perhaps down in the grade, but we had a teacher from Richardsville, and I really viewed her as a very long teacher, had a lot of respect for her. And I heard her make a statement one day, in class, that the highest point in Warren County was right up there where the water tower is in the curve. And she made that statement. We all looked around as students and looked at each other and said, hey, right here, we know Warren County. The highest place in Warren County is right up there where the water tower is. And I believed that for years and years and years. And then one day I mentioned it to somebody else. I said, you know, Richardsville is the highest place in Warren County. We don't have any place in the whole of Warren County, 350,000 square miles, or 350 square miles that we have any place any higher. And that person said, oh, you're mistaken about that. And I thought, well, I couldn't be mistaken. Because this teacher, Miss Nonnie Young, that's who she was, she said that's where it was, and I know Miss Nonnie would not tell us anything that wasn't true. But I feel about that my house stays in Jeremy's way most of the time. But it shows what the elevations are all over Warren County. And how wrong was Miss Nonnie? Because there are many, many places in Warren County that's a whole lot higher than that place that up there where the water tower is today. As a matter of fact, you can drive right down the road, and you can drive to down what they call the hard weather road, and you find a place down there that's 100 feet higher than that place is up there. Get out of that and believe it for many, many years. There's other places in Warren County that's a whole lot higher than that. So just because we've been taught something, and just because we believe it all the life doesn't necessarily make it true, you may have been taught. Now, by your parents or your grandparents or some other preacher or somebody else, that these things that we've discussed this morning don't really matter one way or the other. Those are blunders in your life. Go back to the Word of God, see what God has to say about it, and then live up to those things. Should there be one in your audience this morning who's outside of Christ?